Good morning. It's a little breezy up here. It's flattering that the Summer Worship Committee asked me to demonstrate, reveal, or reflect the sacred found in ordinary food. But honestly, I have struggled to pinpoint the thin places at my job to recognize the liminal space in commercial kitchen work. I hope you don't infer that the Summer Worship Committee shoehorned me into an impossible situation. It is not impossible to synthesize thoughts on career, spirituality, self-actualization, fatherhood, and the survival of my child into a single 15-minute block of time. What I'm implying is that I am merely a procrastinator who feels weird speaking at church about where I work, where some of you are customers and member owners. Some of you kind of own what I do. But we are community, and our lives intersect in interesting and beautiful ways. And I want to humbly offer what thoughts I can on food, the sacred, and Beyonce. The story you are about to hear is true. The names have not been changed, and the food is real. Because this is high-stakes storytelling. Please listen responsibly. My name is Tristan, and I work in the deli at Maple City Market here in Goshen. I work with Anna, David, Rhonda, and Sarah. And we have all listened to Beyonce's Lemonade 7 times in the last 3 weeks. We only stopped because we're afraid we'll kind of stop loving it. But we love it. I love working in the deli for lots of reasons. One, I get to help Kate Lind deliver her spring mix on Saturdays. We call it Kate's Candy. Two, we get to work with and serve some of the freshest, cleanest, most sustainable food in the county. Three, they're not my recipes, but I love making soup. 12 or 11 soups every week, more in the wintertime. My favorite soup ingredient is not bacon. It's the unassuming can of tomato paste. It's not too acidic, not as bright as vinegar or citrus, but it's tangy, and it cuts through the fattiness of meat and beans. When sautéed with aromatic vegetables, it adds a much-needed umami flavor to vegan dishes. Four, the deli composts all food scraps, and it all goes to Aaron Swatsky Kingsley, who gives it to his chickens. It's the people I love most of all, Anna, David, Rhonda, and Sarah. All five of us who work in the deli have children. Actually, Sarah doesn't have kids, but she has dogs that frustrate her. And since pain is subjective, I don't even blink an eye when I'm complaining about fatherhood, and she chips in with, "I know, my dog is so..." Whatever. I'm right there with her. Dependents are motivating, joy-giving monsters. I began work in the deli 3 years ago, having never stepped foot in a commercial kitchen before. I've learned enough about cooking to know I haven't learned enough. Professionally, I make lots of things, but mostly salmon cakes, veggie trays, cinnamon rolls, beer ox, and of course, soup. Personally, I deal with anxiety, codependence, making jokes at the worst times, swearing at even worse times, an aversion to bedtime, an affinity for glowing screens, a persistent need to control, and the pesky knowledge that I can't control anything except for my own words and actions. And on bad days, I can't even do that. And now, with that level of TMI, maybe you don't feel so bad about not knowing everyone here at Assembly. Middle-sized congregation is looking pretty good. Back to the theme of finding the sacred in the ordinary. I'm trying to find a balance between the meaning of food and my personal experiences in working with food at a member-owned co-op that is not immune to politics, discord, or interminable daily grinds. And I firmly believe God is in all things, even if she does not approve of all things. I'm paraphrasing someone when I say, if you set out to solve the mysteries of the universe, you will just end up staring at the stones at the bottom of the garden. But if you start with the stones at the bottom of the garden, you might actually find a way into those bigger mysteries. I'm shooting for a middle ground. It doesn't feel like a stretch to say that the divine is present in my personal life. I recite a morning prayer. Mary and I make daily gratitude lists. We sing Johnny Appleseed before meals. And then sometimes Emery asks to say a prayer, which usually goes, "Thank you for all your music, David Bowie. But you died." I believe that God can handle a prayer like that from a girl like her. I believe God loves what gives Emery love and happiness. That's a love that excludes harm and embraces community and kindness and wholeness. I want to love people as God loves people, the way she loves her wonderful creations. I was needing bread at work, worrying out loud to Sarah about whether I can give my family the best possible future by working in a kitchen. Sarah and I talk about Elizabeth Gilbert, which is funny because she reads a lot of Miss Gilbert's writing, and I have read zero. It's like the child and dog thing, but flip-flopped. So if waxing eloquent is a thing, my thing that morning was whining inarticulate about Emery's future, my prospects as a 33-year-old, barely professional cook, and temporarily, permanently, hiatused writer. I actually love to chop vegetables, and I love the smell of scones and coffee in the morning, and it's exciting to know I make the store smell good, but is it going to pay for college? I haven't managed to find that mythic job high school teachers are eventually going to tell Emery to get, that mythic job, that are somehow your favorite hobbies disguised as a fat paycheck. Find what you're passionate about and just do that forever. What if I just found a job I can tolerate and show up for every day? Sarah told me something that I've clung to in the last months, and I heard it the way I imagine some people hear words of solace in the scripture. As the deer panteth for the water, she said, passion is overrated. Not everybody has passion. Elizabeth Gilbert says, screw passion. We should all just be following our curiosity. And I thought, am I curious about this bread dough? This other time, I went from something reasonable, I'm providing Emery with everything she needs, right? To, what if I'm trying to teach her and love her so much that I can't even see that I'm failing at everything? Sarah's a balanced lady, so she went up with outright mockery this time and tried to taunt me about what horrible fate might await my poor Emery. And I could see her going through the mental checklist of lifestyles most Christians would hate to see their kids live. What if Emery turns out to be, no, you'd be fine with that. Oh, what if, no, that's not a thing anymore. Oh, what if she's a Republican? And there it was, the worst thing spoken plainly over muffin tins and blueberry lemon batter. Welcome, fear. Welcome, anxiety. It's not the food I love, although I could easily have talked to you for 15 minutes all about bacon. I love how we as a deli come together around food, and almost every day I'm glad to see my coworkers. I belly laugh almost every day. I hear at least one favorite song on Pandora almost every day. I hear new songs that are obviously old favorites for my friends, and I love that they share that with me. We talk about our kids and our pets in a very cathartic and supportive way. We have our off days and weeks. I've had my feelings hurt at work, and then I speak up. And when I've hurt someone else's feelings, I address it right away. Rhonda gets annoyed at how assertive I can be. And the food is good. It's why I wanted the job in the first place. I wanted to make the food our community was asking for. Mostly organic, gluten-free, local, vegan, horribly delicious cinnamon rolls that make people drool while other people tut-tut. No one should ever have that much sugar, one customer scolded me. I smiled. Ingredients and allergens are listed on the label. Everyone gets to decide for themselves. I'm proud of the food I make. Except this one time. I accidentally made bug soup. Don't worry, this bug soup never came close to a customer's mouth or a customer's wallet. It was that magic time of year when all the pesky insects in California are enjoying spring fever, but it's still sub-zero here. The produce truck must have been like an illicit booze cruise for all those little fiends. I rinsed that bunch of lacinato kale, but not well enough. This was for potato kale soup, a Monday tradition. The best part of making the soup is adding dashes of cayenne and nutmeg to the onion, softening in olive oil. Then a couple of teaspoons of sea salt and dried thyme. The onions take on a subtle bronze sheen as those bright dashes of spice dissolve. The worst part of making the soup is realizing not all of those specks in the broth are herbs. The bugs were hiding under the curled edges of the kale leaves. I felt sick. Not just about the bugs, but having to throw away all that soup, to have wasted all that time and money, and to start all over again from the beginning. I used spinach the second time. I couldn't bring myself to compost it yet. I mean, I knew the chickens would like it. So I left it in the staff fridge with a note that affirmed that I ate a bowlful of this bug soup. It was delicious. And I thought, this is what sustainability will taste like. Insects are the protein of the future, guys. Get used to this idea while you still have beef. When I came back to work on Tuesday, no one had touched my bug soup. I guess it doesn't matter what you write on a sticky note explaining why it's bug soup instead of regular human soup. I think I tried to strike a balance between charming and grandiose with some peer pressure, but it turns out I just sounded like a sociopath. I'm sure the chickens loved it. Food is personal. Food can be treacherous socially. Bring something to small group supper. Should it be store-bought or homemade? Organic or conventional? Maple City Market organic or Walmart organic? Local veg only in season or hothouse tomatoes all year round? Did I take the time to use ingredients that will honor everyone's dietary choices, or is someone going to be left with just salad greens on their plate? Food insecurity, overeating, undereating, celebrating your curves but keep a flat stomach. Is it allergen-free, or will it cause an asthma attack in this neighborhood, kid? A weeks-long mental health nosedive for a friend? Will this food actually kill my sister in minutes? Food is not always sacred. Sometimes at work I'll find an open package of lunch meat on the deli shelf. One slice of meat gone, Ziploc resealed. It could be that the person who took that hammer turkey simply gets off on shoplifting. Or it could be that that day food was scarce and she really needed it. Food is never just ordinary. There's a guy who comes into the market and he's grumpy all the time. Always finds something to complain about. He pitches his voice to grab your attention. It's like the vocal equivalent of him grabbing the hairs on the back of your neck. And he yells. When he yells, he's yelling because he has to wait for 5 minutes while we make him a tuna salad sandwich. Food is personal to that guy. Can I see God in this entitled customer? I doubt whether I'm curious enough to set aside my distaste and my ego and really listen to him. People in our store always have stories. Some people want to tell you their conspiracy theories, like Obama's birth certificate or how Monsanto is colluding with hospitals to make people sicker. And these conspiracy theorists, by the way, cannot read my body language when I'm trying to gracefully and decisively back away. Some people come in on doctor's orders. Some people come in against doctor's orders. They want to try changing their diets, and they refuse to cut, burn, and poison. Some people want to tell me about their gross medical conditions when I'm just trying to pick up some capers for the salmon cakes I'm making. Some people come in desperate. They just found out their 2-year-old daughter is allergic to corn, rice, gluten, and potatoes, and they need to find something she can eat for supper tonight. Some people have specific requests from the deli. My favorite suggestion was left by someone named Anushka. She wrote, "Carry pie as if chocolate, blueberry, and other vatterations." It would be a perfect haiku if only vatterations was a word. Other suggestions are more serious. I made Hungarian mushroom soup for a terminally ill customer this spring. It's her favorite soup, but I stopped making it last year because, as a soup, it couldn't pay for its own shelf space. The labor involved in cleaning and cutting 5 pounds of mushrooms and then babysitting a soup that curdles quickly if you try to rush it, it didn't pay off. Plus, on the best days, 5 pounds of mushrooms might smell like peaty forest floor. On the worst days, it just smells like slimy dirt. After our phone conversation, though, I was ready to give her that soup for free if I needed to. It was not exactly last wishes, but as far as I know, it would be my last soup for her. And I was grateful to do it. We scheduled her soup pickup for the day after produce delivery, so her creminis would be as fresh as possible. I worried they would come in wet, muddy, or worst of all, green. But they were beautiful. Dry and plump. I carried that 5-pound box, almost reverently, washing each mushroom like I had a dozen times before, but this time I was paying attention to details. The gills were as stiff and light as feathers. I don't care for mushrooms, but on that day I really liked that soup. She ordered it again 2 weeks later, but it's full of saturated dairy fat, sour cream, whole milk, butter. She couldn't make it work with her diet, so she thanked me and we left it at that. Ordinary food, ordinary time. Jesus isn't being born, he's not dying or ascending. We mortals are not enjoying liturgical feasts and we're not fasting. But what is ordinary for me? What am I taking for granted? What does my privilege blind me to? It's ordinary summertime here. In Australia, South Africa, and Chile, it's winter. In the deli, it's ordinary for us to hear something horrible has happened on the news somewhere else. In the deli, it's ordinary for us to spend a week or more mourning the loss of someone like David Bowie or Prince. It's ordinary to toss pieces of food in the compost. It's ordinary when we're cooking in a bigger, unfamiliar kitchen for some event to find ourselves working right on top of each other in one corner when we could spread out. It's ordinary for me to speak up, be assertive. It's ordinary for me to chicken out sometimes. It's ordinary for us to not talk about the news, to just chop veggies and listen to music. It's ordinary for me to struggle with what communion is, what it means. In the deli, it's ordinary for us to listen to lemonade. And it's ordinary when Anna bursts out, "Who cheats on Beyonce?" She looks like she wants a real answer too, but I've learned to say, "I don't know." Even though Emery's questions have trained me to always be ready with an answer. A little bit of knowledge goes a long way, a little BS too. Emery still asks me why I made bug soup. She wonders why I ate it. Curious.